We on?
Yep.
8:45 on the clock, so we will call to order the Board of Equalization, Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, June 20th. And we will start out by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance for those of you that can stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Which one are you talking about?
We have more people here than we normally have there. Right on the corner of that table, if somebody wants to follow along, that's the agenda that we're following today or whatever. So you can take those copies and just pass them around or however. So
there's not very many there.
There's not very many there.
Yeah. Get more.
If somebody would like another one, we can. Don said they can have some more made or whatever. So maybe you ought to have a few more made. Call them. She'll call over and have a few more made. The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. Consent agenda. Number one is a general agenda. Number two is approved correct to the audit amount on June 6th of 2018. You have two number twos. Oh, well. The second number two, approved minutes of meeting held June 6th, 2018. Number three, approve all claims through June 20th, 2018 in the amount of $1,219,732.22. Accept claim number 1806019 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $943.50 and claim number 1806025 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $32,135.71 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on files correspondence received. Entertain a motion to approve consent agenda.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 1806019 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $943.50 and claim number 1806025 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $32,135.71. This brings total of claims approved through June 20th, 2018 to $1,219,732.22.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Hill.
Bauman.
Whatever.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Hill. I heard the right one, said the wrong name. Vote. Six in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Next up, we have comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. This is when anybody would like to, they sure are more than welcome to come up and make comments, and I know we've had people visit with us about that. So we will or we may, just depends on kind of how many are. Once you get to 3 minutes, I'll kind of let you know, and then hopefully you'll be able to wrap it up at that time. If we end up like the number that called and wanted to comment, then we'll kind of try to limit a little bit. So whoever wants to start first. Leonard. Yeah, we need your name and address for the record.
Lenhart Fritzen, 29813 South 120th Road. Wetter than a cat this morning. Okay. Now, it was a little over 2 years ago when I stood here, and I says, why don't you guys file bankrupt and get it over with? I think the bill would have been about $15 million or a little more. And since that time, you've spent, well, by the time you get done, you'll have about $2 million in lawyer's fee. And as far as I'm concerned, whenever you got a criminal case, you should go outside of the state and hire a lawyer. I would say you should have went to New York criminal lawyer, and then you'd have got something done. And so that's on that. How many minutes I got left?
Three.
Okay. Okay. So as far as getting the money, that's going to be a problem. I've got some suggestions. Nobody might not like it. Cut every department by two people. Cut the sheriff department by a third. Did you hear that, Gus?
I heard.
And only go on calls. No patrolling on the roads. And then sell all the surplus stuff what you got in the sheriff department. I don't know what that all amounted to. And can you, how much street value have you got on that dope?
You can't have that, Leonard. I'm sorry.
Can't have that. Okay. But, okay. And now, if you guys is going to put 70% on the property owners, what's supposed to maybe foot the bill, then I think we'll get a group of guys together and we'll file discrimination charges and you'll have more lawyer fee. So that's about my 3 minutes, probably about.
No, you know, you've got another minute and a half.
Leonard, yeah. How much do you want to cut the sheriff's department?
One third. And that's kind of minor. Maybe should go, but no patrolling. Just go on calls. In Arizona, when we was over there, they cut 27 deputies. They cut professors. They cut everybody. They went from the top on down, and then they got theirs balanced. So something's got to happen here, too. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Leonard. There's more copies now of the agenda. If somebody else would like a copy of the agenda, feel free to get one or whatever. Next, whoever wants to come up next and talk.
Good morning, board members. My name is Norman Wallman, 5696 Southwest 2nd Road. And as you know, I'm one of the older people in this building, beside Lenart probably. And I watched this case very closely, and somehow we got to stop the bleeding. We can't keep going legal fees, and we got to stop it because it's a cloud hanging over Gage County. And whose fault is that? State. The state got involved in this with the attorney general, and that the state should take care of the problem, turn it over to the state, make them pay. Thank you.
Morning. My name's Roy Lobby, 8548 East Spruce Road, Wymore, Nebraska. I'm a business owner in the county, taxpayer and voter. I have a lot in common with you fellows here on this board. I don't disrespect you or mean to upset anybody here today. I'm totally disappointed that you're going to kick the can down the road again on this trial going, appealing. The fact that you wouldn't put this on the agenda tells me volumes that you don't care about what the public thinks. But I would like to ask you a couple of questions, if I may, and have each one of you respond. First off,
they can't respond. It's a public comment by statute. They can't respond to
it. Is that why you didn't put it on the agenda?
No, I'm just telling you that's. I wanted you to explain that they're not being disrespectful to your questions. This is a listening situation for them. So,
well, you haven't responded publicly on anything. You've been in behind closed doors on all this. The public doesn't know. The voters don't know what you're thinking. It's hard for me to understand how you could possibly think you have any case here to proceed. My question was going to be, does anybody here think that Beatrice Six had anything at all to do with the murder of Helen Wilson? And if you do, you must not know the facts. And you must not have read any of the books, any of the articles that have been written. The Omaha World Herald had a nice article this weekend. Yeah, I'm assuming you haven't read it. And your lawyers must have really not advised you. Maybe you never went to the trial, the jury trial that awarded these people that kind of money. Why would the state Supreme Court exonerate all these people and find them totally innocent, pardon them, give them a stipend if it weren't the truth? And you guys still seem to think they're guilty. And you have a grounds to stand on when you've been laughed out of court twice in the last two judgments. And the judge said, you're lucky you're not paying twice this or a lot more. There are six people that have been unjustly incarcerated in prison. Not at fault of you guys or any of us, but previous county employees. How can you continue to persecute these people in that way? It's just shameful in my mind that this county will still prosecute and persecute these innocent people of a crime they didn't commit, ruin their lives, took away any time, any chance for love from their family and their friends, put them in a hell on earth, and you still want to continue doing this to them? Enough's enough. Come on, guys, find some compassion and love in your hearts. And think about, put yourselves in their shoes. Joseph White wasn't angry and bitter when he got out of prison. And thank God he stood up and said, I'm innocent and fought this. How can you continue it? I just can't get it. And you guys won't tell us what you're doing or what you're thinking. This is a public group you were voted on by. You serve at the pleasure of the voters of this county. And you're not responding to us. You're not telling us what you think or how you're going to, other than, you know, it should be all public now. Your attorneys have already been to the press and spelled all everything there is about it. So why can't you talk about it? It's time. It's time you sit down and look at the facts and said, hey, we got to correct this. And I agree with Senator Wallman. It's time you go to the state and make them hold up their end of this deal. As you know, we've all said, the state prosecuted them, the state exonerated them. The state's the one that should pay this bill, not the county. And you've been given opportunities to support that effort, and you fought it. And it's time to change that tune and turn around, if you would, please. Please find it in your hearts. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good morning. I'm Gregory C. Lobby. My address is 312 North 10th, Wymore, Nebraska. Given the ruling by the county attorney that there will be no answers, I would just like to go through some questions that I hope the board will consider and respond at a later date and provide more information about the questions that I have. And the first one is, who sets the agenda for the board meeting? The board received a written request that an agenda item be included for this meeting that would allow a review of the decision to file for an in-blank hearing. I'd like to know who set the agenda and who denied that request. Second, has there ever been an agenda item about requesting the governor to budget funds for the final federal decision in these cases? There was a request made in September of 2016 that the board submit a request for that action by the governor. I don't know whether it ever appeared even on the agenda. Has there ever been an agenda request requesting the legislature to allocate funds for a final federal judgment?
Greg, can I get a copy of what you're reading, your questions?
Yes, I'll be providing one afterwards, though.
Thank you.
Has there ever been an agenda item authorizing a new official investigation into the finding of the Attorney General's task force that found the six were not just innocent, but beyond a reasonable doubt, but innocent beyond all doubt? And that statement by Corey O'Brien of the Attorney General's office was part of the material that was submitted to the Pardons Board that resulted in pardons being issued to five of the living six. Has there ever been an agenda item where the board reviewed the findings of that task force and the subsequent and the corresponding court decisions and the evidence collected for those conclusions that found the six were innocent? Is there any physical evidence that any one of the six was in the Wilson apartment on the night of the murder? Given that confessions and testimony were coerced and found not to be credible, is there any credible evidence that any one of the six individuals convicted was in any way involved in Mrs. Wilson's death? What is the present total cost to Gage County taxpayers for all of the litigation surrounding this matter that has resulted from contesting the claims of the six individuals? And how many years will it take to pay the judgment and related costs if the levy is increased to 50 cents based on what it is now and what it is projected to be if the matter is pursued all the way to the Supreme Court? And what are the costs of further appeals, and how long will delay result if those appeals are unsuccessful before the six receive their monies that they have been justly awarded? Will the county continue to spend money on items that are not absolutely essential, depleting the cash reserves of the county so that those monies have to be replaced by property owners during the time of the appeals being considered? How much will post-judgment interest increase if these appeals are continued and they are unsuccessful? Is the county even authorized by state statute to enter Chapter 9 bankruptcy? And if so, what are the consequences to the county and the county taxpayers of entering into that bankruptcy? Will it reduce the total amount of the jury award and other costs if they remain sustained by the court decisions? And what is the maximum amount of possible insurance recovery if those suits pending happen to be successful? And finally, does the county have any solution at all if there is no relief from the appeals other than just raising property taxes to the maximum level? Any questions?
No questions, but I will make one comment, and that is it's been in the paper that we did comment on this several times, that the cost about a week ago were $1.7922 million that we paid out in attorney fees. And I don't know which reporter asked that question or what, but that was in one of the papers. So that is public record, and I'll just make that comment.
All right.
It's going to go up and change a little bit.
It's 1769-13752.
Say that again, Don.
1769-13752.
Okay.
Is the total that I have so far.
Thank you for
and that
information.
That was shortly after the appeal verdict was handed down, so there will be other claims coming forward to that. But I just wanted to comment on that. The others will not comment on today.
In due course.
Yeah.
All right.
Course.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else? You're sure more than welcome to come up and give comments or thoughts. It's don't be thinking this is us sitting up here not listening. This is the opportunity for this board to listen, and we sure welcome anybody else's thoughts that you have. If not, we'll move on. I'll just make this quick comment. At approximately 10:30, providing our meeting's done or whatever, we are having our two insurance lawyers down today and our two bankruptcy attorneys. And I know at least two of our legal counsel for this Beatrice 6 will be down then too also. We will be going to closed session and discussing a lot of different issues on that. But just wanted to make that comment. I don't know, according to the agenda, if we'll be done early or late, but at 10:30, then we, if they're here, we'll be going into closed session for that. If not, we will continue on with our agenda. Committee reports, building ground, winter lights.
Nothing new.
Equalization.
We've heard equalization.
Finance and insurance.
Discuss potential changes to salaries for employees. Heard from Lisa there might be some additional expenses for siren repairs this year, but otherwise asking for budgets to be submitted so things start being reviewed.
And the budgets are starting to come in. Galen gave us a copy today. He talked about it Monday at committee meeting, what the proposed budget is there. Gus has been talking about us, and he's given somewhat of a proposed budget, too, for his department, so they're starting to come in, and we'll start having more discussion on those. And
the two large ones,
Matt.
Well, before everybody exits, I'm just curious if this would be an opportunity to talk about some of the budget constraints that we may run into. Hypothetically regarding a judgment. And the thing is, we do have multiple conversations about this. That when something is in litigation, I don't mean to patronize anybody, but we have a lot of.
You want to go out and get them other guys back in here and tell them that we're going to talk a little bit about the financing. Yeah.
Better in here than out there.
Better in here than out there, because we can't. I couldn't hear very good, and I know you guys can't either, and stuff.
Well, I just want to comment as previous finance chair, and I know Danny and I, since we've been on the board, this thing's, I think, at the first 6 months that we were here, this has been on the board when the suit was filed, basically our entire time here. So we have those same conversations that you have. You know, when things are in litigation, there's just some things we can't talk about. We have different attorneys, if you will, looking at some of the things that you brought up. Some of those things can't be had in public session. You've raised very good questions, conversations we've had too. You know, it's unfortunate in the comment section we can't have the back and forth. That's just a process issue. But we have talked about finances and how some of the constraints that we would run into if we decided to roll over and just pay this tomorrow. And it's not physically possible to do that. One of the problems we have is the total valuation in Gage County. Based on our tax levy authority that we have, if we fundamentally shut down government, shut everything off, mothballed every building, got rid of every public service, even the basic bureaucracy of government for the people to pay their taxes, to come in and get their driver's license, some of those basic, if we closed all that down, it would probably take us almost 3 years to pay off that, maybe 2.5 years to pay that off. If we closed everything down, taxed at the total amount, collected all that money and paid that out, it would still take us a period of time to do that. So there are some absolute financial constraints, plus the time in which we can submit our budgets and then actually do the tax collections. So hypothetically, if you will, if we get to a point where we have to pay this and we're mandated to pay this, there are some financial constraints based on how we can collect taxes, period. And that presents a whole nother list of problems. So we've had a lot of the similar conversations. We talk about how we're trying to put our budget forward, how we can continue to provide for the basic safety and the basic services just to engage in the basic bureaucracy of government and maintain infrastructure. And there's real hardships that we potentially run across. So as we put the budget together, we talk about this, and we will have these conversations, and there is a cost to this, and it's unfortunate. As Mr. Lobby said, it's really nobody's fault in this room, but we're tasked with that responsibility of trying to get through the weeds on this, and I think we're trying as best we can. To my knowledge, nobody in the state of Nebraska has ever done anything like this. To go out and find an expert, they don't exist. So it's hard. So there's some of that we feel like we're kind of going down this dark hallway, and we've got people trying to help us, and we are empathetic to the public, and we want to give you information. But there's things that we have said in the past in public, and the other side has used that against us, even if it's just our opinions and just our ideas. So it's difficult, and I guess, you know, we feel the same way. And, that, you know, there's really only 8 people that really knew what happened, and 3 of them are no longer with us. And it's a tragedy all the way around. But we are concerned about those things. We do talk about how we're going to potentially do this, but it's a tough road, and nobody's gone down it before. So, I mean, I would say that in the context of the budget committee reports, that it's a struggle.
Let me add a little bit more on it. And at least I and some of the other board members, too, have talked about in public. Our county levy today is approximately 27 cents. I gave this talk out at when we had the townships. Approximately 27 cents. These are round numbers. We allow another 11 cents to townships, to fire departments, and so on. That puts us up at just close to 38 cents. Every 1 cent, based on our valuation today, and our valuation will change every year, we can raise $322,000. We are mandated by the 50-cent levy lid. So you take the 50 cents, you take 30 cents off, that's approximately 12 cents of levy we could attach onto this payment. That gives you somewhere around $3.8 million a year you could raise. What Matt talked about is the budget restrictions are, by September 25th, we have to approve our budget for next year. Right?
September 20th.
September 20th. then we have to approve our budgets, the township's budgets, all of those will be approved. Then we set the levy, and in December, you will get your tax statement of what you owe for taxes for next year. We cannot go back and change that in January. We cannot go back and change that. Next year will be set. So for this county to do something, we would have to have that all done next year to pay something out of the budget. We'd have to have that done by September 20th, approximately. Most likely, for the county to collect property taxes, it will not be able to do it until the year after, unless things get done and fall in place quicker than that. Each 1 cent of levy, like I said, will raise $322,000. On a $100,000 house, that 12 cents of levy that you would be assessed would raise approximately $120. Every $100,000 is going to raise $120 for people that want to know out there. We cannot bond a judgment. Our bonding agent has had his lawyers look at this. Counties are not allowed to bond a judgment. That's set by the legislature. There are other things that have a small possibility out there that could happen. There is a state statute now, apparently, that was ruled on by the Supreme Court that we got from our bonding agent, and all of us had the email, and it was public record that we can allow out there. Counties are required to levy for a bond. That was a ruling made by the Supreme Court, Nebraska Supreme Court. That's a statute out there now that we didn't know about until this came about again. As we go along, we're finding out a lot of things. And just because it doesn't seem like we're talking about things, this board is, our legal counsel team, they have basically told us as long as we're in litigation, there's certain things we cannot talk about because of the litigation part of it. And I hope people understand that. I will say one last quick comment. We've told a lot of people, you want to visit about it, the board, I don't know of anybody on the board that's ever turned anybody down about visiting with it. Get a hold of somebody. Visit with some of the board members. We are more than glad to talk about it. We want you to understand there are certain things we can't talk about it. As Matt said, it will put the county in a tremendous financial situation. Last year, for property tax purposes, just for the county's budget, that 27 cents raised approximately $8.9 million in property taxes. That's what went to towards the operating part of the budget for the county. Right? The 8.9. So that's what we are currently raising. So basically, if the county would add the 12 cents of levy on there, it's almost half of what the county, that's not counting the townships and the fire departments and those. Because we allow those, that will be part of what's counted up towards the 50 cent levy lid.
I just want everybody to know, I think very clearly, that this entire board has been doing everything we can to deal with this situation. Nobody has wanted it. Nobody will ever want anything like this. But we're trying every way we can to manage your dollars the best way we possibly can. Those are our dollars also. We want to spend money the proper way, but we want to do things legally. We want to do things that will protect this county. So we aren't making decisions that aren't appropriate. We'll do everything we can to conserve the dollars of this county and the dollars of every single taxpayer. We aren't blowing money, and we want to let you know that, even though it's inferred. Thank you very much.
Eric?
And I think Matt and Myron both said this, that even if people want this judgment paid out immediately, the money's not there. I mean, that's something we have to keep in mind. We're a rural county that has limited taxation authority. The money is not there. There will be scrimping and peeling and everything else if this actually comes down to where we're trying to pay it. And even at that point, there is no payout. There's no magical bond that we get that we hand over this lump sum of money. It won't happen. It's completely impossible. So then it is looking at how can little pieces here and there be put together? You know, you put the scraps together to try to get a meal. Well, that's what paying that judgment would end up being like for the recipients, if it ends up going that way. I mean, there's just not the dollars in the overall budget, even like Matt said, if you cut everything else out. The other thing is, there has been people that say, well, why are you so heartless on this? It has nothing to do with being heartless. It's not our job to decide if they're guilty or not. What we're being sued for has nothing to do with guilt or innocence in the first place. It has to do with a civil rights case. The innocence or guilt has nothing to do with the county suit. It's were their civil rights violated in the process originally. I mean, our opinions are invalid, whether they are guilty or innocent. And I hope no one thinks that we're making opinions based on if they're guilty or innocent. That's not our job. Our job is to manage the money as far as what is required of rulings based on their civil rights.
One quick other question. I think there was something brought up about the insurance. We did approve with contract with the two insurance attorneys, and that contract, that's public record. You can get that in the clerk's office. The same way with the bankruptcy attorneys. That's public record. Because that insurance is in litigation, that's something we aren't allowed to talk about. The only thing is, I think it's everybody knows that if we did not or were not pursuing that in the court system, we would be collecting no insurance. We can't tell you. They don't know. Our attorneys don't know either if there's a good possibility of collecting something. That a judge will be deciding. And I think one of the papers, one of the articles had something about there are some hearings coming up, that there's been some motions filed and some briefs filed. And that's starting to work through there. In July, I think there's a couple of those. But as far as is there a possibility of getting that, that's something for the judge to decide. And that's we can all give you our opinion, but that don't decide whether or not there's insurance. Terry, you always give some big dollar amounts on the finance. So you got the sheet? Or?
Yes, I do, Myron. Big ticket items this time. Beatrice Public Library, funding request $11,500. City Beatrice, quarterly EMS services, $45,000. Engage, portion of the county sheriff expenses, $10,425.07. NERMA, General Sheriff Weed Liability Insurance, $144,107. NOCS, 3 heat and AC units, $18,380. USPS Hassler, postage for meter, $15,000. Washington County Sheriff's Office, boarding inmates, medical, $15,335.43. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $81,284.16. Contact Engineering Solutions, Culverts, $34,906.76. NERMA, Highway Department Liability Insurance, $136,403. NMC, Parts and Labor, Highway Department, $23,343.32. RL Team and Construction, Hauling Gravel, $32,135.71. ME Collins Contracting Incorporated, quarterly payment, this is for project north of Odell, $34,215.22. Engage, portion of the county's share of expenses, $27,000. First Wireless, communication equipment, South Tower Project, $31,583.05. Last but not least, Zephyr Towers, decommissioning Blue Springs Tower, $28,730.
And that is the last, go ahead.
One more. County Building Fund, Masonry Construction Incorporated, restoration of sandstone west side of the courthouse, $91,739.
And that is the last pay period or the last claim period in our fiscal year for 2017-2018. So that shortly we'll have what was all spent in the next few days we'll have a final report on all of that and what that amounted to, because our next fiscal budget, our new fiscal year starts July 1st, and this is the last pay period in this year. So that's some reasons why sometimes you see some bigger ones there, so that they show up or they end up being in this fiscal year's budget yet. So anything else on finance? Human resource employee relationship.
Not really anything.
Law enforcement emergency management.
Lisa, you got storm report?
It was nice to have some rain. We were fortunate. A lot of us, you know, averaged anywhere from 2 inches on up to 5.5. So, but so far this morning, things are looking good. Crops, you know, not much damage. Some wind blow, but soft.
Not flooding here that you...
We've had some low-lining flooding, I think, on some of our roads and so forth, but the guys are out right now working, you know, just assessing that. But we'll know better here at noon and so forth. So other than that, that's kind of the storm report. So we went through everything at committee, Gary, so I don't have anything else, really. So
I don't think we got anything law enforcement either.
Road and bridge.
Back to the box culvert north of Dale. Monday, they plan to pour the bottom floor of the box culvert on Wednesday. Did that happen, Galen?
I haven't heard.
Okay. I would rather doubt. But anyway, Galen visited with property owners on the easement for bridge on East 31 Wymore. This is the slab bridge that's going to be installed by the county. Discussion on a shed at Adams for a grader and possibly running a storage shed. And Galen had brought up in his budget, he was looking at doing 35.7 miles of armor coating. That's it.
Yeah, Galen didn't have anything for the agenda either. No permits, no anything, which is really highly unusual. Usually we have enough construction or whatever projects going on in the county that we always have a windstream or something permit to
report. When I got back to my office, we got a critical bridge inspection, so
But we have two critical bridge inspection agreements here later coming up on the agenda. Anything else for committee reports? If not, first up on our agenda is Linda Grell with a tire amnesty grant.
Give my address too?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Linda Grell. I live at 1907 Washington Street in Beatrice. I'm here representing Keep Beatrice Beautiful and the County Extension, and we applied for a grant on behalf of the county to the Nebraska Environmental Quality Scrap Tire, and we just got approval of that. And they had a huge lot of applications, so we're very fortunate they funded it completely what we applied for. And we applied for $32,102. We have that grant for the county, and that's 375 ton at $82 a ton. And the low bid was Champlin Tire Recycling out of Concordia, Kansas. And we just talked to them yesterday, and we had set the date, but we had to confirm it with them to make sure that they were going to come. And it's going to be on Wednesday, August 15th, and Thursday, August 16th. And they committed that they'll start hauling the tires out on the second day on the 16th, which is always good news. Any questions?
Well, I not a question. I'll just give a comment. There's people that appreciate you doing this, or you and Paul. Paul helped a lot with this.
Yes, Paul is helping again as well as the county.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yes.
And I've had several people in the last month ask me, what's the deal with the tire grant, or what are they going to have it?
It's a couple months later. I think they just said that there was such a huge number of requests this year that they took like 2 months to look at them. But so that's why I was really surprised and pleased that we got our full funding. So we've done 375 ton for the last couple of years, and I figured up we've done about 2,015 tons that we've taken in over all the years. So that's a lot of tires. I always wonder where they come from, but they just keep rolling in. So just a note, I haven't talked to any of the law enforcement, but we did have a little problem with people coming very early last year, and there was backup on the highway, and so we'll try to work better with some law enforcement. Last year, it was routed through the county through the fairgrounds, and it seemed to work very well. So we'll work on that.
And as far as, I guess, restrictions or qualifications, you'll be putting that out too, you know, as far as...
Right. It has to be Gage County residents.
It has to be Gage, right.
Yes. And then they have to give us a tire count or a weight when they come in so we can keep accurate count so we don't go over. We don't have funds, you don't have funds, so we have to keep it under 375 ton.
Most of those tires probably come from Jurgen's windbreak.
Silage pile.
I do wonder where they come from every year. I think we are the largest in the state. Hmm. We're larger than Lincoln. So.
Well, that's certainly good news, so it'll be great great to have that again. So.
All right, thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you. Next on the agenda, approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and State of Nebraska Department of Transportation for 2018 fracture critical bridge inspection. And I think before we vote on, or have a motion, Galen, you want to talk about this one a little bit then?
This is an agreement between NDOR and the and Gage County for a fracture critical bridge inspection. We have one bridge inspection due this year. Most of our fracture critical bridges are on a 24-month cycle. This particular bridge was put on a 12-month cycle because of the four-beam problems that we're currently working with on here. So basically it's an agreement between the state and the county to provide funding for this. The county's share will be 20%, and that'll come out of our soft match funds for this. The total for this one bridge is $929.11, and the county's 20% share of the cost is $185.82, which will come from our soft match funds.
That's the one we're repairing.
It'll be the one south of this one's for south of Claytonie that was put on a 12-month cycle. So
it fit into the 12-month cycle, so they'll inspect it after.
That's what I'm checking with, and at this time along here, the engineering outfit that was assigned to this one is the engineering outfit that is designing the repair for this. So hopefully we can work together with this and do this after the repairs are made. So, because if not, it's going to have to be relocated and everything after that is done also. So, and I haven't been able to make contact with this Jody Gibson to confirm this, but that's what we will try for. So.
Any more questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agreement.
Motion to approve the agreement.
Second.
Motion by Bauman. Seconded by Jurgens. Vote. Eric.
Oops.
Yep. 7-0 in favor. Next on the agenda is approve or disapprove resolution on signing of the project program agreement 2018 fracture critical bridge inspection number STP-NBIS in parentheses 112.
That's resolution 18-16.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman and seconded by Jurgens.
This is just an agreement basically stating that we'll be using federal funds for this, and it will be between the state of Nebraska and Gage County for this bridge inspection project.
What, is this the same bridge then? Or?
It's the same bridge, just the program agreement, yes.
They want a resolution.
It's just that we have to have a resolution on it.
Yes.
Vote. 7-0 in favor. Next on the agenda, approve or disapprove agreement between the City of Beatrice, Gage County, and Gage Area Growth Enterprise, N-Gage, effective July 1, 2018 through June 30th of 2022.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Bauman. Walker, you want to come up and just talk about it a little bit?
Thanks for considering this. I think we've had a pretty good two-year run, and looking forward to doing another 3 years. We've seen record growth, I see, in the last couple of years, and we have a lot of things moving, a lot of prospects on the line, and appreciate you guys investing in us and let us have the flexibility to just go out and do it the way that we think we can do it, and so far it's been working, and the partnership between you and the city and our board and the N-Gage board has been great. Anybody can take my call at any time, and I appreciate that, and the input that we get, and like I said, just the freedom and the flexibility to go out and to do economic development and grow Gage County. So thank you for considering doing another 3 years, and we'll spend your money wisely.
Matt, just make a comment on it. And I think that what's important, and I think I'd try to do this every year. If I don't, I apologize. But I think when we entered into this agreement, when we reinvigorated economic development, it's not just, it's kind of a spend as you go. If there's a balance that N-Gage has, we don't continue to pay out. We're obligating those dollars, and I think that was different in the past. That payment was just made regardless of whatever balance was there. So I appreciate you all being judicious in the spending and the reports that we get. So we don't always pay out every bit that we allocate. I think that's important.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was just one final, like, minor change, because that structure, when we changed to the, instead of paying it all up front, we were limited by quarters, and so we could only request so much per quarter. It's tough when we have some quarters that you spend way more money and some that you spend way less. And so we thought it would be a better steward of the dollars if we could say, let's pay all these bills now, and then we have a better idea the rest of the year of what we have to spend. And some of the projects that we want to tackle was tough because you couldn't really spread those funds across different quarters. So this should make it more flexible. It's still all reimbursable, so you guys see all of the things that we spend the money on, and you only reimburse what was legit. So we still think we can come in under budget, but yeah, this gives us some more flexibility.
Because that was the one change that we looked at and we made, was that before they were limited to, I believe, $37,500 per quarter, and we removed that because there are certain times during the year where that was constraining them paying all their bills. So we removed that part out in there. There's still $150,000 for the year. They need to make sure they watch their budget at the end of the year. They don't get to come back and ask for more. So
Yep.
This last year, though, member dues and stuff have increased a lot too. So there's the private public partnership. That's nice to see that the local community has faith in you guys too, or they're starting to pony up and dump a little more cash in.
Yeah, and I think we're up to, I think it's over 40 members that invested in us, and that's really helpful for our group, is because, you know, we can only spend tax dollars on so many things. And so, you know, if we're doing a recruitment trip or we're on a recruitment dinner or things, you know, we just want to make sure we're careful not spending tax dollars on something we're not supposed to. So member funds can come in, kick in, you know, we can pick up certain tabs that maybe we shouldn't be spending tax dollars on. So members understand that. I think you guys understand that. We just want to be a good steward of all the money. And so our board looks at all the financials every month, and so far, you know, we're even trying to do even a better job of budgeting and seeing exactly where all of our money goes and how we can put it in different buckets going into the next year. So, I think right now the recipe that we have cooked up is working pretty well.
Let's just remember, and we've had a situation or two where the county was left out when there have been tours and what have you, and we need to make absolutely certain it's not just the city of Beatrice, it's Gage County that's a partner in this, and we want to continue to be recognized for our support.
I'll say with Walker, I would almost say the outlying areas in Gage County, which is a nice change because that's something the senator's always commented on, the outlying areas and the total Gage County area is really brought into this. Even as projects are happening north of us in Lancaster and other places, Walker's done a good job at tying that back to Gage County, not just Beatrice, but Northern Gage, Southern Gage, all over the county. So that's really worked well, and we thank you for that.
Yeah, and like you said, the partnership works really well, and it would be tough if this was only a county thing or only a city thing. We have a client coming in town here shortly, and we're showing them three sites, and one of them's in town, and two of the other two are out in the county. So we think any of those could work, but who knows, at the end of the day, probably none of them will work, and we'll find them something else. But it's great to be able to have that. You know, there's no boundaries there for us, so.
Well, if you need any kind of additional support, financial or otherwise, just see Lenhart Fritzen. He'll be glad to take care of that.
No problem.
I'll make sure to ask him. Thanks for the suggestion. You want to be a member?
Yes.
And our funding amount is staying the same, the $150,000 a year each from the city and from the county.
Yes.
So any other questions or comments?
Thanks for all you do, Walker.
Thanks for your support, guys.
Vote 7-0 in favor.
Thanks.
Approve or disapprove recommendation for special designated liquor licenses for the Gage County Fairgrounds, Speedway, and Beer Garden Midway for the Gage County Fair, July 25th through 28th of 2018.
Approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. comments, I guess. Did Gus? You're good to go? Oh, here it is. Yep. We have a report from Gus and the different times, and I see Steve's here too also. And if you want to make a comment, you sure can or whatever, but otherwise, yes.
Yeah, just briefly, Steve Whitworth, 38830 South 10th Road, Blue Springs, Nebraska. I'm currently serving as president of Gage County Ag Society. Basically, our liquor licenses, our special designated licenses, are the same this year as they have been in the past. But also want to take this opportunity to thank the Board of Supervisors on behalf of the Ag Society for everything that you guys do for us and gals. We really appreciate the funding that you give to us, and we know that we're in some tough times. We'd like to thank you for that. A couple of dates I want to mention. This Friday, we're working in cooperation with the Chamber of Commerce on putting a fireworks show out at Beatrice Speedway. Tickets are only $5 per person, including children, coming Friday, so it'll be a big event. We usually get a lot of people out there. Please come out if you have some time to view the fireworks. It's a spectacular show. It really is. And then, of course, the Gage County Fair, which starts on July 24th. We have some great nights of entertainment this year. We have a band called Two Way Crossing. On Thursday night, we have Josh Turner. On Friday night, we have Lanco. And then we have our great show with the trailer races on Saturday night. And then Speedway on Sunday, we run races, too. So please come out and see us. We thank you for everything you do. And that's about all I got to say.
Thank you.
I've been a big supporter of the Gage County Fair for years and years and years and years, and I don't like having beer available with all the children that we have at the Gage County Fair. And I've always been opposed to having that beer garden, but I guess I'll support it. But I don't think it's necessary. We can find money somewhere else.
Any other comments?
Just out of curiosity, I assume that the money raised goes to the fair board from the beer garden. Is that right?
Oh, yes, that's correct. It goes to the, everything we have raised there.
Everybody
there,
my host.
Sports
trophies,
you know, just everything that goes with it.
How much money does that bring in?
Lisa?
Rough numbers.
Fair-wise, are you talking about fair-wise?
No, the beer garden in general out there.
All throughout the year, about $140,000.
It's a lot of beer.
If we don't have, unfortunately, if we don't have alcohol sales, we'd have to charge an admission fee. We look at different avenues that can no longer be a free fair.
And that's $140,000 gross, not net, right?
That's gross. That's not net. Yeah.
So what would the net on that be?
On beer, it's about 62%, and mixed drink, 58% on beer and 62% on that.
Thank you.
So the county attorney was commenting maybe we should have horse racing out there on the track on the nights we're not running cars around.
Is that what you said?
I don't know.
Off the record.
Off the record. Any more discussion? If not, vote 7-0 in favor.
I don't want to compete with that.
Next item, approve or disapprove resolution for special use permit number 2018-2 for the construction of a residence and removal of an old residence. And we had a public hearing on this at our last board meeting. This is a residence, I believe, up towards the Cortland area.
Yeah,
you just want to comment a little bit on it? Yeah.
This, as you know, you heard, this is a residence that's placed within the setbacks of a livestock facility, and so they went through the special use permit process. They sit at least 830 feet from an existing DEQ permit, and so as our special use permit process permits, it's allowable use, but they have to go through that process. Both parties are in agreeance. They're fine, which is great. That's why the process is there. So commission recommended to you guys approval. And that particular house, just for the record, is treated in the future as if it's not there. So within the setbacks. So.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Thiemann.
So this is an example of residence and agriculture coexisting, which is possible, which is why we set the regs the way we do. And we have the process to go through.
However, it becomes more and more challenging. That's 18-17 for resolution number.
18-17, resolution number 18-17. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove fiscal year 18-19 agreement between Gage County and Region 5 Systems for the emergency protective custody.
This is an ongoing agreement. It's been very good, and I'm sure the county attorney would say that, and I would move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Roger?
Yeah, this is a very significant agreement from the standpoint of dealing with folks with mental challenges. Saves the county a great deal of money and also facilitates coordination of getting these people help. The region does an excellent job working with our law enforcement, both our sheriff's office and local police department. So I would strongly encourage the continued agreement.
Any more discussion?
Just another comment. Here's another anecdote. I think this is an opportunity where, at least at a local level, we're investing in mental health, which we see nationwide is not being done. And there's blames and fingers that are pointed at inanimate objects and things that take place. And I think that making an effort, mental illness is an illness. And so I think this is great that there's at least an opportunity locally to deal with.
Any more discussion? If not, vote. 7-0 in favor. And I don't see on there, Don, where there's a place to sign.
No, that's just the cover.
Oh, that was just a letter. Yeah. Okay, we'll explain it. Okay.
You got the agreement?
Yeah, we have an agreement right here.
Oh, okay. All right.
I didn't sign that either, though, yet.
Listen, you don't. This is just a liquor.
Why didn't you sign that? Okay. Next item, approve or disapprove resolution to transfer $28,000 from miscellaneous general fund to jail budget for operations of the department.
Okay, there's one now. 18-18 for resolution.
Okay, entertain a motion.
I would defer to the chairman of the finance committee to make a motion.
I might have to move on because I don't hear a motion.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Juergens. I guess this is just what we've been going through the last several times we've had transfers into the jail budget. It's mainly because of the medical and because of additional housing of inmates. I don't look every day, but Thursday morning when I looked, we had on the website there were 42 listed inmates for Gage County, which, as I think everyone knows, they can't fit in a 32-bed jail. So, unfortunately, that's where our population has gone with the jail. And I know John looks more often and stuff, but
I haven't looked lately.
We've probably been averaging, Gus would have the numbers, but we've probably been averaging a little over 40, for sure, 40. So we have the agreement with Washington County for 10 and Dawson for 5. And when I looked Thursday morning, there were 12 in Washington and 5 in Dawson County. So we are using those agreements. Matt?
I want to ask him a question when he comes back in.
I'm going to vote against this one, not because I don't support the jail, but we said going into this, we knew we were going to be short of money. Cut back, tighten the belt, you know, and we're still seeing $472 mesh-wide chairs, hundred-some dollar expenses on fancy shirts. When you're out of money, you stop spending. We've got used chairs over here we could use. We've got all kinds of places we can save money. Are we going to get to the $28,000? No. Are we going to get to the $180,000 we've already transferred over to the jail? No. But just because you're over budget and you know it's going to get funded, we don't need to keep spending the money. And that's where my argument is, I guess. Maybe we're transferring $27,000. Maybe we're transferring $25,000 this time. But instead of tightening the purse strings, we keep spending because we know it's going to be funded. And that's where my issue is, I guess. It's not in opposition to the jail or knowing that we are making cuts. It's we could do more.
I just have a question for the sheriff because I don't know the population that's over there right now. How many of those folks that we have are nonviolent offenders? And I know that I ask this all the time because it's like if we're there's people you're mad at and there's people you're afraid of that you like.
Nonviolent. Oh, gosh, that varies from hour to hour. If they are nonviolent when they come in, then usually turn that way on us quite a few times because we got to fight with them over something. But I bet you easily I'm getting maybe half.
So we have half of our people that are nonviolent offenders that we lock up. And I admit, I don't know the details of everything, but from the outside looking in, locking up nonviolent offenders, it's half of our population, potentially adds to the cost.
And, of course, the problem you run into, if you do some alternative methods, which is that's going to start the legislation and work its way down, obviously, but we have several we have to bring back because they don't do what the court told them to do in the first place. So they don't learn their lesson. So I don't know if that'd be, I don't know what you're saying. It sounds good in principle, but and it might work for some of them, but some just don't get the message. You know, just
if we lose this judgment, it's probably going to start at your office and who we lock up or not because there won't be the ability to.
Well, that's going to have, there's statute requirements there, so that's above me. That's going to have to go to somebody a little higher up. So these are tough decisions, no doubt about it.
Well, and that, Eric brings up a good question. I don't know if we can, as a county, make that decision. And I don't know if Roger may have to look into it, too. I don't know if we, as a county, you know, the state's looking at some of their population issues, but I don't know if we, as a county, can say, let that guy go or let that guy go out on bond or bail. I don't know if we have that jurisdiction.
Well, yeah, you start with the root of the issue is, I take an oath that says I will uphold the Constitution and the laws of the state of Nebraska. I will enforce those. His folks take the same oath. So unless we say most of the time or use your judgment or don't worry about those little things. And again, that's issues other jurisdictions have had to look at. Just a year ago, I think it was the state of Washington, commuted a bunch of sentences and just opened the doors and let these people out. And again, I know what Matt's saying there, because we've got people that don't think you need insurance or driver's license to drive on our highways and run into people that do abide by the law. And eventually they should go to jail because they don't learn their lesson. But when you do that, the public is put in danger, our children as well as the other drivers. So, yeah, it's a tough decision. I know what everybody's saying around here. We've looked at this. I know I'll give you an example in Overland Park, Kansas, about 2 years ago. Kansas had a tremendous fiscal problem. And the county attorney down in Overland Park says, I'm not going to pursue domestic violence cases. Well, you can imagine, I mean, the press had a field day with that one. Because that is a very timely issue and something most of us are very concerned about. But the problem with those cases is law enforcement spends a lot of time, exposes themselves to a lot of danger in addressing those issues. We get arrests. The victims typically turn around and either bond them out the next morning or violate the protection orders or whatever, not always. And then the prosecutors file the cases. We get them set for trial. And guess what? People don't show up for trial. There's a situation where the bad prosecutor says, I'm not going to waste that time. But then you've got people that legitimately need protection, and they're not being protected. So, and that's just a microcosm of that translates into the population that Gus has. You know, we got federal mandates that say we got to take care of these people medically better than they've ever been taken care of in their life. I could go on for a long time.
Well, and you have to remember also, if whatever you try to do to cut corners that would affect that, is also that chance of liability is if they get out for whatever reason, come back on the county again. So it's a catch 22 no matter what.
There is a big change. I mean, philosophically, it's going to have to be a change on a level much higher than what we're dealing with.
Absolutely.
Right now it's going the other way, and we're looking at putting more people in our county jails for things of up to 2 years imprisonment. And not to be critical, but that's what the state's looking at to lessen their tax burden. So it's not getting better from that standpoint.
And that will raise our population.
Quite a bit again.
Yeah. And there are some things you can't control. You missed Eric's discussion on some of the things that, you know, was covered in finance that appeared to be, you know, maybe things that should have been held for a while. If Eric wants to repeat them, he can. I mean, obviously, we do need to fund the jail, but it does look like there's things that could be watched a little closer.
Like, what are you talking about?
Well, just while you were in the hallway there, I was talking about some of the things we talked about, tightening the belt, not spending money on things we don't need to, because we do have to support the jail. But fleece, polo shirts, fancy mesh wide office chairs, things like that. When we're out of money, we need to stop spending money on things we don't need.
What are they going to sit on, Eric? The damn thing broke and fell off it. What are you going to do?
Come get a chair from across the street.
Where do you think they came from in the first place? See, you don't understand all
this.
Not
these chairs.
They are junk. I just asked Dave about it. They're crap. I'm not going to put them back over again. I just fell off one last yesterday and broke.
You know what we do in the private world when we break something, we're out of money? We use what we have.
Yeah, well, that's private world. Here, I don't have the private money to do that. I'm sorry. You know.
That's not more money. That's the thing. Here, we don't
How about
have the
we do
money,
this?
So we keep spending.
You do the budget for me. Then when we come in a problem, you can deal with the hassle. Because I got the union, you don't. Lucky that was me that fell yesterday. I could see a claim coming across on that if it wasn't. I know it sounds good from that side. And I just had to buy a chair yesterday because that one broke on me. But
I
we don't
know about the
them.
One yesterday. This is from a couple weeks
ago. And the ones, and that's from a screening station. Two of them broke on us up there, and they were shot. You got to remember, our guys have duty belts. I have to have, and got some guys, they're pretty hefty guys. I can't just put a crappy chair there.
These chairs here would work. They're pretty sturdy.
They have no wheels on them. Your chair all day.
Do you hear what you're saying? These are luxury items.
No,
they don't
not.
Have wheels on them.
We could argue this all day long. I'm not going to have a guy slide back and forth on a floor with a chair like that. Don't have wheels on it. That's ridiculous to do that.
Sheriff, in my mind, a lot of times when we argue about this, you make my case for me.
Make your case by making my case. You know, it's a personal, it's your opinion, Eric, and I respect
that. And that's all
that.
It is. It's my
I understand,
opinion.
I respect
all this.
But until you tell me there's absolutely no money, they're going to have to sit in 5-gallon buckets, I'm going to get something that's going to be usable for them anyway. That would, I don't think David would like me sliding back and forth on his floor.
I'm just telling you, I've been in equipment where I was sitting on a trash can.
No, I understand that.
The seat was broken, so
I understand.
It was removed.
I understand.
I mean, it is. It's just an opinion, and I do respect that you give me the chance to give that opinion and have that discussion. But because some places you can't have that discussion.
Oh yeah, I have always listened. Yeah, that's probably that.
Anything else? Otherwise, we have a motion and a second, right? We'll wait for Don to make sure we have a motion in a second.
Yes, I do. Bellman and Juergens.
Okay.
I'm going to hire him. I'm going to hire him, make him work, and see what it's like.
I want to see him sit on the bucket. That's what I want. Hey, why don't you give up your nice leather chair there and sit on the bucket for the meeting? And
then he can take a
Sheriff, that's got wheels on it. Why don't you take that one over there?
Yeah, just bring it back for Wednesday morning and Monday morning every 2 weeks. You can have it.
I mean, that's the case. We have nice stuff as public representatives.
I get your point.
The public is paying for us. I mean, we should appreciate that.
Any more discussion? Vote 6-1 in favor. Not seeing anything else. Anybody else have anything on the agenda? Otherwise, I had told the attorneys not to be here at 10:30. But
Myron, I guess we're going to break. We have some public comment.
Oh, Leonard, do you want to come back?
I have one question.
As long as it's not about the sheriff department.
Well, I better be careful. He might throw me in.
Leonard Fritzen, 29A13 South on 20th Road. Is there any way you guys can get to the state and get an emergency, some kind of emergency file that you could put a sales tax on the emergency clause, what we got?
The county can put a sales tax on.
They
but
can.
It has to be voted by the people, and then we can only put that sales tax on wherever there's not an entity like Beatrice that already has one. If Beatrice has one, if Adams has one, if Philly has one, we don't get to collect a sales tax in those areas that they collect it. So that really limits the scope of where we can collect for a sales tax.
Well, what if you go for an emergency? The state should be involved in this deal too, you know.
That's
how did they handle that on that deal that lasted so long? Was that in Richardson County?
It was a few hundred thousand dollars.
Huh?
It amounted to a few hundred thousand dollars, I believe, in the state.
The state provided?
Leonard, that was down in Richardson County, and that trial, the legal expenses were over $1 million. And,
yeah.
And they did pass a bill that I believe gave them $200,000
to assist them. Yeah.
The state and everybody we visited with at the state, three of us have visited with the governor, we visited with multiple state senators, and including Roy Baker, they have all told us the same thing. The state will not entertain any type of funding assistance until we have a final settlement.
Oh,
we are
okay.
Not there yet.
Yep.
Okay.
So we have been visiting. I know several of these guys have visited with some of the state senators. I went up there Monday morning and visited with another one. And we have visited with multiple state senators. We visited with the governor. We have visited with Larry Dix, who is our NACO CEO, which is our Organization of County Elected Officials, and he is the lobbyist for them, and he has a real good understanding of the working agreement there. We actually had a meeting down here. I don't remember, was that a year ago or 2 years ago? Eric was at that meeting when we had him down here. And Larry went over a lot of that with us. Until we have a final agreement, they won't entertain any type of financial assistance.
Okay, there's no figure.
Now, yeah.
But I figure it where it's an emergency. I call it an emergency funding.
Well, it's not an emergency.
State should go.
It's not an emergency till it's final.
Now what?
It's not an emergency till it's final. Then it's an emergency.
Then it's an emergency. Then you can go through the procedure.
And the groundwork's being laid now.
Okay. Well, okay, thank you all here, guys. I'm glad you guys got this nice job here.
Yeah, you are.
We're glad you're in a good mood because it rained. I can tell you that.
it's tough, I know, but I mean, when you look back on everything,
we asked the sheriff to protect us, but ask him not to spend as much. One of these times, he's just going to let somebody get us.
I thought about that already.
That would have just increased the jail budget.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right.
Be careful what you do, Eric, because you, whatever you do, don't increase the jail budget.
Yeah, make sure there's not like enough room.
It's not like you can't find your tracks.
Is there anything else for the good of the order? If not, we will adjourn the meeting at 9:50.
No. Recess.
We're recessing the meeting at 9:57. I see one of our attorneys is already here. We did tell him at 10:30 or whatever. Or that, at least I think that's
between 10 and 10:30.
Oh, between 10 and 10:30. So maybe we'll go into that earlier. We'll recess until we see that they are here, and then we'll go into a closed session. We'll put the meeting back in order and go into a closed session. So
open up. You can see some cracks starting to open up.
Yeah.
Right down.
No,
somebody
close the door.
Told me this morning, boy, that was $1 million rain. I said a million.
At 10:11, we will come back in from recess and readjourn.
That can carry for quite a while.
The Board of Supervisors. We entertain a motion at 10:11 to go into closed session for the Board of Supervisors for necessary for the protection of the public interest or for protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. And this will be limited to just discussion on the Beatrice 6 until our lawyers get here at 10:30.
So moved. Approved. Go in.
Second.
Motion by Bowman, seconded by Hill. Vote. 7-0. Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
On.
I entertain a motion at 12:35 on the clock to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Hill. Vote. 5-0 in favor. Meeting adjourned.
Don't want to take me and Eric voting.